You hear me now?
Oh, there's an advertisement. And I have to cut that out. That's why I can't hear you. It overrides the conversation.
Oh, okay. Starting in 1 minute. Okay. Please join me in saying Yad Bekoach. Ana Bekoach Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Tzerura Alephet Gimel Yutat Tzadi. The letters Tzadi, it created the constellation Dali, the Aquarius, and the Bet that created the planet Shattai, planet Saturn. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel. Hasin Kadosh Biro Tucha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Het Nunayan. Yahid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kidushata. Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziachatenu Yom Gea Shalumot Shem Kufat Shabbatah. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Who did I kick off? I'm reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Mishpatim, the section called Saba, which is being translated as the old sage rather than grandfather. We're reading verse 266. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu Aval Haka Babinyana Devei Makdisha Desidra Bisha Yidabar Me'alma La Itzarit Deha Mocha Uklipa Dile Have Ikedim Mocha Diktiv Heitiva Birtzoncha Etzion Bekadmeta Uvatar Tivne Chomot Yerushalayim Ahi Choma Dilvardihi Kalipa Dilehi Mamash Diktiv Va'ani Ehiela Neum Hashem Chomat Esh Tzaviv Ani Vela Sidra Bisha. But here, concerning the construction of the temple of the future, when the evil side will be removed from the world, there will not be a need to begin with the outside, because the inner part and the shell will both be his, so that he will commence with the inner part, as it is written, do good in your favor to Zion first, and then build you the walls of Jerusalem. For the outside wall, the shell, will be his own, as written, for I, says Hashem, will be to her a wall of fire around about. I, and not the side of evil. This verse in the Zohar is talking about reincarnation, but on its surface level, it's describing the idea of today, in our world, when you build a house, you build the walls first, and then you do things inside. You want to get the walls up and the roof up before the rain starts. But in the time of the building of the third temple, which according to the prophecies will come descend from heaven and will be finalized by an action of man putting the doors on the temple, when that happens, the final action, the outside of the temple, will not have to be built first, because there is no negative side at that point. There is only good. The truth is, there's only good now, but we have great difficulty in seeing how pain and suffering is good. And there will not be an evil inclination. There will not be something drawing us away from the Creator. It's a different world that is coming, which is the correct translation of the Olam Haba. Are there any questions or comments before I start? Bacha, do you have the verses chapter 4, verse 3 and 4? I'd appreciate it. Gimel and Dalet, yes. Just
please.
Let me see what I put. Because who remembers? Yes, Gimel and Dalet. Read both, please.
שבע כפולות, וכך ספרה, שבע ולא שש, שבע ולא שמונה, שש צלעות לשישה סברים כנגד שבע קצוות, מהן שש קצוות מעלה ומטה, מזרח, מערב, צפון ודרום, והיכל הקודש מכוון באמצע, והוא נושא את כולן, ברוך כבוד השם ממקומו. שבע כפולות, בגד כפרת, חתיקן, חצבן, ופרסן ושקלן, והמירן, וצר בהן כוכבים בעולם, וימים בשנה, ושערים בנפש. והן חכך שבעה רביעים, ושבע ארצות, ושבע שבתות, ולפיכך חיבר השביעי תחת השמיים.
Thank you. That language is familiar, and when I read the English translation, you might get a sense of what that familiarity is. The first verse, chapter 4, verse 3, there are seven double letters, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Kaf, Pe, Resh, Tav. Seven, and not six. Seven and not eight. Six sides against six ends. What are the six ends? Up and down, east, west, north, and south. And the holy palace of intent in the middle. And she is a topic to measure. Bless and honor Hashem in his place. 6 months ago, when we started reading chapter 1 of the Sefer Yetzirah, the first verse spoke about 10 sephirot, 10 and not 9, 10 and not 11. And this is somewhat similar, 7 and not 6, 7 and not 8. Similar, but not the same, as we'll discover. Verse 4, which I had Bacha read also, seven double letters, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Kaf, Pe, Resh, Tav, carve and engrave, permute, weigh, combine, convert, and expand. Light up with stars in the universe, years and souls with gates. From them engrave seven heavens and seven earths and seven Sabbaths. Therefore, love the seventh under the heavens. This is the 25th class. The handout is located at www.yeshem.com/sy25.htm. Last class, was the second class in the fourth chapter, the fourth parak. And we discussed in more detail the 28 times and how they related to the seven sephirot of direct light and the seven sephirot of returning light. And they related to the seven letters, which each had dual sounds. And I lost some people, so let me see who I lost. Okay. Just quickly reviewing what was involved. We have discussed various forms of meditations. We have talked about using the mother letters. We've talked about the sephirot. We've learned how to open gates. These two Mishnayot are teaching us something very, very different. They're actually directing us on where to go when we meditate. It's not just the vagaries when we meditate of we go where we go and we see what happens. We'll go where our intention sends us. But how do we know where is the right place for that intention? Everything is related to consciousness. But how do we know where we want to go? Verses chapter 4, Mishnayot 3 and 4, Gimel and Dalet, is teaching this to us. When you first came to my basic class, I promised you a personal experience of the Creator, to whatever level you wanted that to be. These Mishnayot are showing you how to truly experience the Creator in all of the wonders of the creation, in the deepest levels of your personal experience. These Mishnayot teach us the roadmap. They teach us a structure of the universe, the worlds, the creations. They teach us where to go, how to go, and why to go. We've been learning about the sephirot and the double letters and the mother letters, 10 of the 22 letters. But we've been studying them as forms, as bodies. The letters as bodies are used as a tool, as a key to open the gates. But where do these gates lead? What's the inner essence of the letters? The purpose of the key, the purpose of opening the gate. Mishnah 3, Mishnah Gimel speaks of 7, not 6. It is teaching us that the difference between the Talmud, which is 6 books, is not the Torah scroll, which is 7 books. Now I have to explain, all of a sudden the scroll of the Torah is 7 books, and you've been taught your whole life there's 5 books of Moses. Where does the idea that the scroll of the Torah is 7 books, where does that come from? Actually, we don't have time to go into that in detail. I've discussed that in my emails covering Bahalotcha, the parasha of Bahalotcha, over the last 3 years. And I direct you there. If you go to newsletter, the link called newsletter on the Yashem page, you'll scroll down and there are links to my previous emails. Go find Halotcha and take a look at the last few emails, last few years. For the time being, just accept that the Torah scroll is 7 books long, not 5. It is both 5 and 7. But in the Sefer Yetzirah, we are learning that we need to deal with the Torah itself, not the oral Torah, which is what the Talmud represents. 7 and not 6. Where else do we find 6? We find 6 in the Zeranpin level of consciousness. In the Sefirot, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod and Yesod. Zeranpin consists of 6 Sefirot. We're dealing with 7, not 6. This Mishnah is teaching us about the structure of the universe. It consists of 7. Zeranpin with the 6 is not complete. The male does not have 10 Sefirot, but only 9. He lacks, Zeranpin lacks Malchut. He lacks manifestation. He lacks his spouse. The woman is complete in her 10 Sefirot. She receives the soul of her upper 3 Sefirot from her husband. But she has the structure for all 10. Whereas he, in and of himself, only has a structure for 9. She represents his 10th. This is not discussing 7 and not 6, but it is. In the Talmud, and in my other classes, I teach you a meditative technique to draw a magid, to draw the level of consciousness of a high soul who will give you information, provide information and direction for you. It's called a magid. The magid is your higher soul, but it's also connected to that source in the Talmud who wrote the Mishnah that you are reciting. The idea of meditating on a Mishnah, repeating it over and over again, to draw the source of that Mishnah, is like a straight line. It's a metaphor of direct light. But psychic material, intuitive material, is not a straight line. It's an intuitive process. It's more expansive than a straight line. It connects you to the more. The techniques taught by the Baal Shem Tov in the Hasidic path, where do you think is where you are, is a more expansive path, a more expansive teaching. We're going to expand on that as I read more, as I speak more. During the holiday of Sukkot, we use the four species to draw psychic energy to the physical world. Psychic energy or metaphysical energy. The terms are somewhat interchangeable. We do this by waving the four species in six directions, following the order of south, north, east, up, down, west, or in the order of the Sephirot, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Where is our manifestation? Where is the Malchut? Where is the seventh? The male organ, the Yesod, has two parts, a stem and a crown. I think those terms are sufficiently clear. The crown never separates from Malchut. The stem can be separated by our actions. Therefore, we say Yesod, we may be speaking of Malchut, or we may be speaking of Yesod separated from Malchut. If we're speaking of the crown connected to Malchut, we are also talking about the seven, aren't we? Heaven and earth are connected and separated simultaneously. The first verse in the Torah teaches us the term heavens, plural, shemayim, and the aretz, the earth, singular. We learn there is only one earth, but many heavens. Is this a true statement? We are learning in the fourth Mishnah that there are many earths, but only one path between the heavens and the earths. I have taught you that the glyph called the Tree of Life, the picture of the Ten Sephirot, is normally recommended not to be utilized because it tends to corrupt our understanding of the teaching. But if you happen to see a glyph, a tree of life that shows lines flowing from Netzach and Hod to Malchut, know that it is a corrupt glyph. It is describing the system of the Klipot. It's describing the system of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. There's only one path between the heavens and the earth that is Kedusha, that is holy. The six Sephirot together are the world of Yetzirah, the world of formation, which are the heavens, which is Zeranpin. Those six, according to the modern physics mathematics, those six dimensions zeroed out. They collapsed. There's nothing in them according to modern physics. The six became one. We've always known this because we've always called Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod as Zeranpin, one name, representing six separate Sephirot, collapsed into one universe. The physical world is the path to the other earths. Energy flows from the heavens, the world of Yetzirah, to the earth, and then spreads out to the other earths. Yet Malchut has no light of its own. It cannot receive directly the flow from the heavens. Yet the flow still goes through the one central point. There is a famous story from the Talmud in the section known as Hagigah. It is the story of the war poor who went into the garden. That story is a metaphor to understand Mishnah 3. The heavens above, the earth below, is a metaphor, it's an adage. We've repeated over and over through the centuries. Let's understand the metaphor. Imagine a three-dimensional pyramid, a triangle on four sides, all coming together in one point. Imagine the base at the bottom, and the sides going up to a central point. Then immediately above that point, imagine, visualize an inverse four-sided pyramid, the exact opposite, going from the point upwards to the base. Is it the Merkava? What's the Merkava, Bacha?
That's how usually the picture when you see it is written, it's describing that pyramid and it's the base of the creation, as they say. That it's...
What is the Star of David?
Triangle.
Oh, what did I just describe to you? I took two-dimensional triangles and I said put two three-dimensional triangles together. And I told you to put it together in a central point. This is the Star of David, the shield of David, the protection shield of the physical world. It's also the Merkava, as you asked. But a Merkava is a limitation of our understanding. I'm giving you a different metaphor. If you call it the Merkava, you're going to limit your metaphor. You're going to limit your understanding. By the same token, the metaphor I'm giving you is also limiting you. But I hope through the course of the class not to cause you to be limited. So we have two triangles, one suspended above the other, pointing down, and one pointing up. It's a little bit like an hourglass, isn't it? The upper pyramid has four sides and two other directions called up and down. These six directions of the upper pyramid refer to the heavens. The flow of energy. The flow of energy comes down to the point of this pyramid, which is called the center point. Where is the center point? The center point is our physical world, what we call Haaretz, the earth. Now, I know in Hebrew and in Israel, Haaretz means the land of Israel, which is the center point or the energy center of the physical world. And what is the center, the energy center of the land of Israel? It's Jerusalem. And what is the energy center of Jerusalem? It's the temple. And what is the energy center of the temple? It's the Holy of Holies. The metaphor of the two pyramids facing each other, meeting in the center point, is the six heavens and the earth at the center point. So what is the lower three-dimensional pyramid? According to the language of Mishnah 4, there are seven earths. There are four sides and two directions, up and down, and the center points. This metaphor of the two triangles is also the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Different names for different metaphors. The seven earths are mirror image of the seven heavens. The seven continents on the physical world are seven mirrors for the seven heavens and the seven earths. There are seven continents in the physical world, but one of them has no light of its own. Is there a functional continent in Antarctica? Is there life in Antarctica? There is on the outside of it. There's land. Underneath the ice, there's land. There's life. There's polar bears. There's, what are they, penguins. There's seals. But it's all on the surface. It's all related to the water. There's no life in the middle of the land, in the middle of the ice, to our knowledge yet. There's no light of its own in that seventh continent. There is no light of its own in each of the seven earths. And just as there are seven earths, there are seven inner earths. And there are seven upper earths. And there are seven middle earths. All of this is referred to in the modern parlance as dimensions. Different dimensions. Different gates going to different dimensions. What is a dimension? You are meant to find out what is a dimension by going there, by visiting that location, by opening the gate and sticking your mind in and finding out, not your body. You don't want to risk death, because some of these dimensions are inimical to human beings. Some of these dimensions are helpful to human beings. We change dimensions just by thinking of it, but we have to open the gate as well. If you've been to New York, you can return to New York just by thinking about that trip. If you've been to Louisiana, to New Orleans, you can return to New Orleans. Whether it's before Katrina or after Katrina is up to you. And that's a hint about the third mention in the fourth Mishnah. Seven heavens, seven earths, and seven Shabbatot. What is a Shabbat? It's a description of time. Before and after a certain event is a description of time. We can go to Moscow by visualizing our journey over the ocean, over the continent. Finally, we arrive there. That's a process. Or we can just go to Moscow, see the crumbling in our mind, and be there. All of those fantasy science fiction stories that you've read or heard about, talking about alternative Earths, they're real. They're just not in this dimension. But they're in a dimension somewhere. Go find them. But before you go, here's some precautions to take. We are not alone. This universe of dimensions is very well populated. And there's a shortage of bodies. There's a lot more entities that have been created either by human beings or by the Creator or by angels. There's a lot more entities that want bodies that don't have bodies. In certain dimensions, they have a body, but it's not like our body. In certain dimensions, they have a body. Because the only way you can see an entity, you can sense an entity, is by perceiving its body. Because the body is the vessel to reveal the light within. We have bodies that reveal the essence of our souls. And this is true of all of these dimensions. There are, without being able to count the number, entities, consciousnesses, some have bodies that fit the dimension they're in. Some have bodies that don't. They come from other dimensions. They belong in other dimensions. And some do not have a body that we can sense in any dimension.
Hello?
Yes.
Actually, I was watching one of the universe. The History Channel, they showed the universe, and that actually they went over paraverses and dimensions and what we were talking about, but now on that side, anyway.
That is correct, Evaristo. Evaristo, science is catching up to Kabbalah. This book of the Sefer Yetzirah was written 35 to 4,000 years ago, 3,800 years ago. This information has always been known. Now science is catching up in their theories, but they have no way of verifying it. They have no way of proving it. In fact, the mathematics breaks down and doesn't work under certain conditions. As long as science refuses to acknowledge the mind consciousness, the mind dimension, they will be limited. But you're absolutely right. Science is catching up in many aspects to where Kabbalah, what Kabbalah teaches, because science is a subset of the Creator's wisdom, just as Kabbalah.
They covered about dimensions, putting dimensions and universes, creating universes, and how parallel universes touching each other once in a while, connecting each other, and each universal dimensions are in the same place and time as we are, probably a different moment of ourselves, somewhere else. But all that, what you're talking about, but in the scientific way.
Yes, and I appreciate that.
I'm trying to say it's like it's exciting to know.
I agree with you. I found it exciting when I learned it. But my purpose here in tonight's class is not to bring in the science, but to have you go there yourselves. I'm trying to promote you choosing to go, to experience it. And it's frightening. That's what I'm cautioning you about. There's entities that are inimical to human beings. Be aware of it. Be aware that when you communicate with a being in one of these dimensions, these beings are not all good. Our world, the physical world, as a metaphor, is mostly evil, mostly selfish. The world of Yetzirah, the heavens where you will go, is half and half. The level above the Yetzirah, the level of Briah, is three-fourths, using a metaphor, three-fourths good, but still one-fourth selfish. So no matter where you go, and to get to the world of Atzilut, the world of 100% goodness, you can't go there with your body. And as long as your mind is connected to your body, you won't be able to reach it. And I know all of you will tell me in one of your trips, all of you will tell me you've been to Atzilut. You've been to the special places. You know it's perfect. And I'm telling you what the sages have told us, what the Sefer Yetzirah tells us. 7 and not 8. You cannot get to Atzilut. You cannot get there. So if you think you're there, you're being fooled, and look to protect yourself, to protect your life force energy. Because this universe is created with a form of money, a form of exchange. And that exchange is life force energy. The Chinese call it qi energy. We call it nefesh energy. There are entities who want to take your life force energy because that's what they live on. Be aware of it. That's what I'm cautioning you about. I want you to go there because you must experience it. To get the deepest experience of the Creator, you have to go there. But with cautions, with protections, with understanding. I have a person who called me, who presently lives in San Jose, was connected to me through one of my San Jose students who's now living in Boise. all of a sudden, he's been following all of these new age spiritual paths who was telling him about his psychic abilities, and he was running off to these places, to these worlds, to these dimensions. And now there's an entity controlling his voice box, makes noises when he wants to talk to somebody. Similar to a disease. He's not psychotic. He has an entity within him, near him, that's taken control of his voice box, which is what I described to you when I taught you the idea of the Mishnah. That the idea of the Magid would speak with your voice, would speak from your voice. But he didn't have the protection, the knowledge that I'm giving you of how to protect yourself. And so he's gotten a negative entity taking over his voice box when he doesn't want to let them take over, when it's the wrong time in his life, when he's trying to talk to his boss and he's making guttural noises because they're fighting over control of the voice box. What does he do? Well, you know, he's chosen the path.
There's a case in upstate New York where these girls you probably read about in the paper. They were getting
It's a similar idea. It's happening if you don't know how to protect yourself. Angels, demons are unable to transition from one dimension to another. Human beings were created to transition from one dimension to another. We create angels, we create demons, and we do not realize it. The angels and the demons do know that we are their creators. Just as some people are angry at God for not giving them wealth or for not giving them health or for not whatever, some of these entities are angry with their creators. There's cause and effect between these levels of heavens and earths. We are supposed to travel everywhere. It's our right. It's our destiny. We need to learn everything. It's our right, and it's our destiny. Our physical world is the location where all of the energy from all of the heavens flows into all of the earth. Do you appreciate the responsibility of being in control of the fulcrum in a seesaw? Do you appreciate the responsibility that I've just described to you? Zeron Pin, the world of Yetzirah is the soul, the inner essence, the heavens. The world of Asiya, the physical world, is the body. We live in both worlds simultaneously. We can travel to the worlds of Briah, but only as a mirror image in the world of Yetzirah. We can't truly get to Briah yet. We haven't learned what we need to learn in Yetzirah. Let's go into the four who went into the Pardes. The word Pardes in Hebrew is spelled Pei, which stands for Peshat, which means simple and actually means unclothed as well. It represents raw, naked energy. The stories in the Torah are Peshat, simple level, raw, naked energy. The Resh stands for the Remes, the hints. Hey, Resh. The next level, the Drash, is the allegorical, the paradox, not the paradox, but many different levels of understanding of morals, teachings, ethics, the allegorical teachings of the Torah. This is the Drash. The word Midrash comes from the word Drash. It actually means from the Drash. When you read a Midrash, you're expanding and learning different understandings of the Torah itself. And the last letter in Pardes is the Samach, which means the Sod, or the secrets, or the Kabbalah level. The Hebrew word Pardes means a garden. Four entered the Pardes. This story is teaching us the laws of entering these dimensions that I've described to you in the metaphor of the pyramids. Let's go into the details of this story so you can begin to appreciate and understand how to protect yourself. The four sages who traveled into the garden are Ben Azza, Ben Zoma, Elisha Ben Abuya, and Rabbi Akiva. Now, there is much information just in their names, but I'm not going to attach and go to that. I'm going to stay with the story. They entered the Pardes, meaning they meditated. They went into the garden. Was it the Garden of Eden on this world? A Garden of Eden somewhere else? A garden in one of the heavens? Where was this garden? Not said. They saw things in this garden. Let's understand what they saw. Ben Azza saw certain things. He said to himself, I'm not married. I have nothing holding me to the physical world. I like it here. I'm not going back. And therefore, his body died in the physical world because he severed the connection between his soul and his body, between what he mentally visualized. He didn't want to come back. You need to protect yourself. We are not meant to not come back. Were to go and to learn and to return. The severing of that life force coil, that umbilical cord, is something we have to learn how to protect. You can go anywhere in the known and unknown universes. Your umbilical cord will go with you. Follow it back. Don't sever it.
Like the space, people like walk in space, they have to have a tether line.
Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And you'll meet entities who severed their umbilical cord. They don't have a body. They're taking over other people's bodies, other entity bodies. they're finding ways to connect with you, to contact you, to take your life force. I told you there's a shortage of bodies. One of the reasons is these people, these entities, who don't want to come back to wherever they started from. Ben Azza was considered a failure because he did not return. It's not the purpose to stay out there. The purpose is to bring information back, to utilize it in your life. The purpose is to bring this light, this fulfillment, down to the physical world. God needs to be brought down to the physical world, not for the physical world to go up to God. The purpose of travel in the lower pyramid, in the physical, in the various seven Earths, whether they're inner Earths, middle Earths, outer Earths, the purpose of travel to the Earth is to spread the light to these worlds. The light flows through our world and spreads to these others. How is that light spread? One of the methods is our travel. One of the sages, whose name is Ben Zoma, he went into the Pardes, he looked around, he sees everything, and he cannot reconcile what he sees with what he knows, and he becomes insane. He became insane according to the standards of the physical society he left. Psychic energy. I'm sorry? Say again, Joe?
You lost all touch of reality?
The story in the Talmud says he went insane. It doesn't say he lost all contact with reality. I told you a story in one of my classes. I'm sure you've forgotten the story. But I told you the story of my teacher, who was a psychiatrist, not a psychiatrist, he was a rabbi in a psychiatric institution, in a mental hospital. And I told you the story of the vacation that he took in the physical world. He went to Acapulco. By plane, it was a horrible trip. He missed a plane. He went to the airport had shut down. He had to wait till sunrise when the cab would arrive. When he got to the hotel, his reservation had been canceled because he was arriving late. There was no rooms left. He had this horrible vacation. And when he got back from the vacation, and he told his patient of 30 years, the schizophrenic, about his horrible vacation, the schizophrenic said, "I don't understand. I had a beautiful vacation. The red carpet went from the door of the hospital to my waiting limousine, where I was whisked to the airport and had a beautiful flight to Acapulco, where the limousine picked me up and I was upgraded on the plane and I was upgraded to the presidential suite. And I went fishing and caught the 7,000-pound fish and all of these great things that happened to me." And we ended that story with the question, who's crazy? And it leads me back to what I'm writing on this handout, what I'm reading from this handout. Psychic energy, metaphysical energy, is intuitive and not logical. But we have to live in the society in which we live. We have to keep that in perspective. What we will see will be pictures. Those pictures is how our intuition processes information, how our intuition processes energy. We will try and reconcile it with what we know of the physical world. And to, for some, in some situations, we will be able to. But in others, we will not. Don't get lost. Recognize this paradox. When you dream, you see a picture. And the next instant, you see a completely different picture. Somewhere completely differently. How did you get to the new picture? It just happened. Ben Zoma could not accept that psychic level and kept trying to understand it, what is not understandable on our level. The third person, Elisha Ben Abuya, he sees everything that he sees. He understands everything that he sees. He understands what he understands. He integrates it into his worldview, and he chooses to become an apostate. He teaches things that contradict the Torah. This is the issue of truth versus unity. He still lives in our world. He is still quoted in the Talmud after he returned. He's not called by Elisha ben Abuya. He's called by the name the other, the heretic, the apostate. No one gave up on him. They did try to change his mind. His best student, Rabbi Meir, always respected him, always continued to learn from him, always tried to get him to not teach material contrary to Torah. It appears they were not successful in bringing him back to Torah. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. We don't really know. This world we live in is a world of illusion. One of the explanations for what he saw is that he saw the angel Memtet, who was originally Hanoch ben Yared. He saw Memtet sitting on a throne right next to Hashem. He saw the truth of the unification, the upper unification of Hashem with man. He saw that the mitzvot are tools to achieve an end. He saw the end. He decided that he was at that level of consciousness already that did not need to do the mitzvot anymore. He was saying, I do not need to get closer to Hashem or to learn more. I am satisfied with what I have learned. This is the no-no that is contrary to Torah. Can you tell me why?
You're limiting yourself.
Correct. Because you're limiting yourself. Elisha ben Abuya learned the Torah of Mashiach. And last, why can I not have this here in the physical world now? The other sages said you cannot have it now because others are not ready for this now. And you become a stumbling block to the blind. Moses, in my class on Mind Over Matter, Moses could not go into the promised land because the people were not ready. If he had gone in, Mashiach would have happened and the people would have died. They were not ready for that revelation of light. You have to be connected to understand where you are and where the nation is, the world is. The others were not ready. The sages said, no, you cannot bring Mashiach now. Under this teaching, the New Age movement has taught people how to reach the earth levels, not the heavens. The New Age movement has taught people how to reach the different levels of earth, to open gates and look in different dimensions. They've reached the level of the earth spirits. And many people say, that's all I want. I don't want to go higher. It's so beautiful here. Why would I want more? Elisha ben Abuya went higher than the earth spirits. He went into the heavens, into the Pardes. But he got to the same result. Ultimately, they will learn, and the universe will teach them and us that you cannot stay here. You must grow your level of consciousness. As long as you live, you have the potential to raise yourself higher. You must grow with respect to consciousness. And you must also grow with respect to Kedusha, to holiness. You cannot continue to stay in one place. This is what it means to be an apostate. Rabbi Akiva entered in peace. Say again. Rabbi Akiva entered in peace. Oh, I was just starting to read it. Rabbi Akiva entered in peace and left in peace. What does this mean? He saw the same thing that Elisha ben Abuya saw. But he also knew that there are times for everything under the heavens. As we are taught in Kohelet, as I taught you last week, the 28 times, there's a lot of time to live and a time to die. His time to die came under the Romans. Until then, it was his time to teach. The ultimate lesson from Rabbi Akiva is live with the times. Learn to know your own cycles, because your own cycles impacts your ability to travel into these worlds of dimensions of earth and heavens. On one level, the cycle is the Hebrew calendar. There are other levels. There are other cycles. Learn to know the ups and downs of your life as the opportunity to cleanse and balance the universe of your life. The purpose of cleansing is to reach higher levels of Kedusha. Understand the meaning of the cycles and bend with the wind like the willow and stand upright to receive the beneficence of Hashem. It is what He wants for you, for you to grow your vessel and ultimately to receive more. What does this story have to teach us about the Sefer Yetzirah and these Mishnayot from chapter 4? Let's go back to the four-sided pyramid metaphor. Our physical universe is the body. Science teaches that its form starts with strings and builds from there to subatomic particles, to atomic particles, to molecules, to compounds, to single-cell plants and single-cell animals, and then to multi-cell plants and animals, etc. One way to relate to this metaphor is to see that all matter and energy in this universe vibrates at various accelerations and velocities up to a maximum limit. Our mirror pyramid universe follows the mirror, except it starts with a lower limit to its vibration. That lower limit is our upper limits. That limit is the speed of light. Nothing can travel faster than the speed of light in our universe, in our world. There is no mass in the mirror universe of the heavens, but there is mind. We are able to interact with the upper universes with our minds and consciousness. This is what is being described to us in Mishnah 4.3, 7 and not 6, 7 and not 8. These races of beings, of entities, interact with us and with other races in our universe. And some of these races and some of these individuals have their own agenda for these interactions. These agendas do not have the best interest of a human being. Yet these agendas are part of the plan of creation. They are a test for us. Do you have the merit? Do you have the understanding? Do you have the ability to go into these worlds, these dimensions, these energies? We have been given halakha. We have been given instruction on how to deal with these entities. We have been given this information. If you do not follow the mitzvot, then you are going to be accosted by the negative entities. They have permission to take your life force energy. Your protection shield is the mitzvot. No, you don't have to lay tefillin, and you don't have to keep Shabbat completely. You don't have to eat kosher completely. But to go higher, to go more, to go involved, the more that you do of the mitzvot, the greater your protection shield is. Just as you need instruction to prepare for an academic test, you need instruction to prepare for these interactions with these other entities. That's why I've been suggesting for weeks now, practice, practice. Don't just open up the gate. Practice. When you are ready, the gate will open up. You will experience what you will experience. Keep in mind these four levels of the Pardes. I am here to help and assist you. And if not I, I'll direct you to my teacher. If there's experiences I'm not able to handle. but we are supposed to learn this material. It is part of the purpose of creation, and you would not be given this information if you weren't capable of dealing with it, handling it, and growing with it. As you practice...
I have a question.
Go ahead, Eva, every step.
Well, can we experience dimensions suddenly at all? I mean, being in this dimension, suddenly see a change of the pattern of your perception and they come back again? Is it possible? Is something that what I'd like to say lately I experienced being, for example, in a room full of people, and then suddenly I see things in three dimensional, like on the movies, the things stand out from one thing to the other, and then I can see the space in between bodies or objects, and it's a new feeling. And I feel like I feel like losing a little bit of my balance because of the what I am perceiving. And I open my eye and my mind because here that everything has to be optical explanation. I open my mind and my eyes see if I need dimension.
I understand your question, Evaristo, your question is best answered privately. But just to give you an indication, are you keeping kosher yet? Are you still eating cheeseburgers?
Oh, no. I don't know. It's hard because of the culture. The culture doesn't let us.
I understand. I am not. You have to understand that your psychic abilities are related to the mitzvot as well. You're expanding your psychic abilities in an unbalanced way because you're not following the recommendations. Now you have a choice. It's hard because it's the culture. It's something outside of you. What's your choice? You want to be balanced? Slow down your psychic improvement. Or choosing to not have cheese with meat. Don't say you have to have kosher meat, but don't have cheese with meat. There are different aspects, and as I said, this is best answered individually because it relates individually to you. Whereas others are benefiting from this discussion, it will apply to them in different specific ways. Call me when you get a chance and let me talk to you. As we practice, we come into contact with some of these other entities, which is what Evaristo was describing. He was talking about the earthbound spirits. But still, they are other entities. We may meet entities that look like scary reptilian humanoids. If you remember the Midrashim from the Garden of Eden story with Adam and Eve, the snake had legs. In the book of Daniel, we're described the watchers there. Reptilian humanoids. We may meet entities that appear to us to be supermodels. These entities are described in the revelations from the New Age teachings. We may meet entities that appear to us as everything and anything. You need to know that all of these entities are described in the Zohar and the other teachings of the sages and the Torah. There is nothing new under the sun The teachings of the wisest men in the world teaches, the teachings of Kohelet, nothing new under the sun, yet there is something new over the sun. Where is the sun in the two triangles, the two pyramid metaphor? Where is the sun? What is above it? What is below it? Mishnah 3 teaches 7 and not 6, meaning the lower pyramid has the physical world plus the six higher planes of the higher pyramid. 7 and not 8, because there is a higher level than these six. There is the world of Briah, but it isn't for us to go there yet. Matter and energy in our universe vibrates at a level that creates this upper limit of the speed of light. In these other universes, that upper pyramid, the lower limit is the speed of light. Those universes vibrate at speeds greater than the speed of light. Know that you have to do that to get there. We need to take on a garment of that universe in order to appear in that universe, to interact in that universe, to learn in that universe. We must have a body, which is a garment. Other entities have to take on a garment in our universe. They have to slow themselves down. They have to vibrate at the level below the speed of light. Mishnah 4 is teaching us how all these dimensions and universes fit together and work together. The last part of Mishnah 4 speaks of Hashem's Makom, in God's place. Where is God's place? We have been taught a fairy tale, and we bought into it. We still believe this fairy tale, and as long as we do, we will limit ourselves. The fairy tale is that we live, and then we die, and then we go to heaven, and that is where God is at. This is a fairy tale. It's false. We live in this dimension until we learn the life lessons we need to learn. And then we progress to other dimensions to learn other life lessons from those dimensions. The only dimension where free will exists is in this human dimension. Ultimately, we will learn all of the lessons necessary for us to be conscious of all of the levels simultaneously. Mishnah 4 tells us to engrave and carve and all of the other things, weigh, permute, etc. We are to do with the letters. As we do these things, we are actually connecting to the underlying dimensions, worlds, universes, and whatever other term we want to use. Understand this well. When you manipulate, permute, weigh the letters, you are doing this in a mental framework that is connected to the many universes and levels that are connected to the essence of the letters. It is a metaphor, and it is real at the same instant. This is the meaning of cause and effect. Travel in these higher dimensions is not defined by physicality. In these universes, travel is defined by similarity of form. And in this case, form is consciousness. Love and judgment, Chesed and Gevura, are opposites and therefore far apart. One of the purposes of the physical world is to bring these opposites close together to resolve the conflicts between them, hopefully peaceably. In the physical world, opposites can exist next to each other. In our essence, the opposites exist. In our body, they exist. In our between our body and our soul, they exist. Excuse me. The answer, one second. The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, the good inclination and the evil inclination. When we integrate these two properly, we stabilize the Yetzeratic plane. When we do not integrate the two properly, we destabilize the Yetzeratic plane. This is something to know in your heart. This needs to become part of you. And one of the reasons for this exercise, for the testing, for the practice, is to reach this integration in a balanced way. Seven heavens, seven phalluses. When we go into our prayers properly structured, we go from one phallus to another. Seven heavens are seven dimensions. Seven palaces are dimensions. Seven earths, seven inner earths, these are dimensions within our earth. How do we get there? The same way we go to the heavens. Our meditations allow us to travel. How are we traveling to the stars, to the inner earths, to the heavens, to other dimensions? Where do we travel? You decide from your own experience where you will go. Seven Sabbaths. Better to plot your own course than just to find out you went someplace. If you've never been there, you're on an exploration trip, but it's still plotted by you. Seven Sabbaths refers to the seven 7,000-year epics, epochs of time. We are in the second. There was an earlier one. The belief is that the humans who reached their corrections during the first epoch are now the souls of the suns and planets and stars. Is that a mystical midrash, or is it a true midrash? You decide. Go and talk to the sun while you're in your meditation. Go learn what's in the planet called sun. What's the earth in the sun? What's the body of the sun? What's the inner essence of the sun? Have your conversation with the letters and with entities. The sun is an entity. There are people who teach that there will be another epoch after this one. People ask, what will happen to the people who do not follow a spiritual path? There are five more Sabbaths in this frame of reference for them to achieve their tikkun, their correction. Remember, never believe a word I say. Please experience this for yourself. Remember, what is inside you is what you will experience. What is inside you is where you travel. Are you positive at this moment? The entities you meet will be positive. And of course, the opposite applies. Don't fool yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Be careful. The negative entities are still showing you yourself. The positive entities are showing you yourself. How blessed is the seventh? How special is the number seven? Learn for yourself. Are there any other questions or comments? While you're thinking, I will make... Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, when you go with your mind, or how do you get there? What is it an echo thing, or is it a...
2 weeks ago, I told you to walk 500 what did I say they were called? 500 years. I told you to walk 500 years. What do you think, Joe? Is it mental? Can you walk 500 years?
No.
Can you mentally go someplace else? Yes. You go mentally. It's all in your mind. But where is your mind, Joe? It's not here on Earth. It's in these other dimensions. When you go there, or you can choose to stay here. It's up to you. This is the choice being offered to you guys.
How do you know where to go if you don't know where you go? That's the question.
You go where your internal essence tells you to go.
We have a gyroscope as we go there.
Your consciousness is your gyroscope. The letters you're meditating upon, the word you're meditating on, is your gyroscope, is your compass. If you're thinking about sharing, you don't have anything to worry about the entities you meet. You may not learn all that you could possibly learn if you limit it that way. But at the same time, it's safer. But how can you be sure that you're truly sharing and not fooling yourself? We were created, we were injected with a selfishness. I'm giving you the rules. I'm giving you the tools to protect yourself. I'm here as your guide. I'm here as your teacher. Go. Experience. Come back and talk to me. Keep me informed. It takes practice. It's not going to happen overnight. Review this class over and over. Read the handout over and over. There's a lot said and a lot left out of this class. As you're thinking of other comments or questions, the Thursday night, I believe it's the 23rd of February, Thursday night at 9 p.m. West Coast time is a Rosh Chodesh connection. I hope you'll join me. Of course, we'll be at this class next week, but this class next week will end at 9 o'clock sharp. Because I'm being interviewed on a radio station in Salt Lake City. So if I don't complete the class next week, we will pick it up the following week.
Is that a remote?
Yes, I'm going to keep the Uhu call going if you want to join us. I'm sorry?
Is it a station? What station is it?
I really don't know. It's one of the people in Salt Lake have made the connection, and I don't have the information yet. As soon as I do, I'll send out an email.
You're going to be in conference call on that day?
I will keep the conference call going, and I will also keep the Uru call going. But I'm going to mute it so that you won't be able to, well, you may be able to ask questions, but I have to see what is the format of the radio station. I'm not really sure what they want to accomplish. I'm just letting you know that the class will be limited next week, whereas this week I let it run because there was a lot of information to give you. Any other questions or comments? Michael, I hope you enjoyed the class. Bacha, I hope you enjoyed it as well. I hope all of you enjoyed it. Have a beautiful week.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Bacha. Bye.
Thank you.